Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. I've touched on this before. Please remember that Daniel was a praying man, and praying people, you will be amazed, and all praying people know this, God will tell you things that he will not tell others. If you are a faithful prayer to God, he will reveal things to you, not in this modern time, new revelation as far as the Bible is concerned, but things about people and what they're about to do. He will tell you ahead of time about your enemies. And what's going to happen shortly. And he will reveal things to you if you are faithful in prayer to God. God will give you a heads up. Many Christians are always shocked, always surprised in a negative sense, always taken aback about events in life. But people who pray to God regularly, obediently, faithfully, God has a way of revealing things to them. I cannot explain it. All I know is those who do that have experienced that, and I know I have. Thousands of things have been thwarted against me because God told me about them ahead of time, and I am thankful to God for that. There's nothing special about me, is something special about God who will do that. So I'm never shocked at things. I'm never shocked at people. I'm not worried about anything. I don't fear any man, and I don't fear anything. I don't fear my death. I don't fear the death of anybody in my family. I'm ready to go anytime God wants me to go. I am not changing my diet this year because I've been warned by the doctor. I don't have any pain in my body whatsoever. And I believe one of the reasons why is because I have practiced fasting, believe it or not. I ate well, but I fasted well too every year since I've been saved, I believe. And my family has fasted with me. And when my children were young and had pure hearts, they would cry and pout if they couldn't fast any longer with me when I was on 40-day fasts and so forth. And so I thank God for those experiences. But God will reveal things to you if you are close to him like that. You draw close to him in prayer. And the thing was true, the Bible says, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing. Pardon me. And he understood the thing. That's another thing. Remember now, Daniel was a man of prayer even before he fasted. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit later in this message. But that's another thing, beloved, that people like Daniel get from God. And not only God revealing things to Daniel. And I assure you that Daniel thought he was a nobody, thought he was nothing. He didn't think himself to be special. You never read about Daniel bragging about anything. Because see, these people like this, they understand that only God can do that. Only God can give you the ability to interpret dreams, and certainly only God can give you the ability when the person forgot the dream, that God can give you the ability to reveal the dream to the person who had the dream but forgot the dream. That's only God can do that, my beloved. I know of a preacher, he's a prophet to this nation, to black and white people, red people, yellow people, this entire nation. But he doesn't see himself that way. That's what God will do to people like this. God will gift you and give you the ability to do things. He's one of the greatest writers in America, black or white, red or yellow. God has given him a platform. He doesn't see himself that way at all. You'll visit him and he'll be in awe of you when you are in awe of him. That's what God does to people. And he doesn't let you see that. He doesn't let you see how much of an impact you've had on other people. And I'm sure Daniel was that way. I believe Joseph was that way. If you met them, they would not think of themselves highly at all. I know of another preacher, one of the meekest men you'll ever want to meet. A giver from his heart, has tried to help people, has never sought thanks. Sometimes those people failed him, yet he still loves them and is trying to help them. Meek as all get out. He has no clue what kind of impact he's had. And he probably will never know that until he gets on the other side. God uses people who think they're nobodies, and we all ought to think that way. He understood the thing. Do you have understanding? I would venture to say that 98% of the world, they don't have a clue. No understanding whatsoever. Many people are in the church today. They follow the next guy who does not have any understanding. Too many pastors follow other pastors. They need to separate from them and get with God. They lack understanding. They don't know what time it is. They have no clue. Just caught in the middle. Caught like a deer in headlights. They couldn't make a decision or lead a little flock anywhere until they checked with some bishop or some well-known preacher. We have a lot of young preachers today following Andy Stanley. If you're going to follow a human, you should follow the daddy who raised him, Charles Stanley. But you shouldn't follow anybody but God. If you're a pastor, there's nobody over you but God and Jesus. If you are a Christian leader, there's nobody over you but God and Jesus, unless you're in some kind of hierarchical type ministry where you got the answer to Bishop Do Nothing, who sits in his chair at his office. And all these preachers who have these little office jobs need to preach at least once a week. Find some place to preach. If you got to go to the woods, if you are a bishop, then you can just command and demand a pulpit. But you need to preach the word. You need to preach the gospel. You need to get out of that office in your little committee and sitting around thinking you are an executive or something. You're a preacher. preacher. Preach. Pray and get understanding, people, like Daniel. And he had understanding of the vision. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Sounds like Daniel was by himself, all alone, as oftentimes it is for the prophet. Jesus had some disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he was still alone, wasn't he? Because the other great fellows went to sleep. I know that feeling right here. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. As soon as I let you sit down, you're going to be going to sleep on me. And I'll be all alone. He was mourning for 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, he said. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you and we marvel at what you do and what you have done. And we thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace, and your long-suffering and your favor. Upon such wretched people as we are, we still do not know why you want to be with us. But we thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our messiness. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. As we from our hearts, by your grace and with your help, forgive others who might be sinning against us right now, plotting against us. Lord, help us to love them in a way and help us not to retaliate. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all. Fill us all with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Grant us fresh anointing and unction. Grant us an unction from on high. Once again, give me exactly what you'll have me to say, the things you'll have me to do. And Lord, we pray that you would save that soul, those souls that are nearest to hell. Lord, we pray that you would throw out the net by the power of your Holy Spirit, through the power of your Holy Word, through us, and that large and small and middle-sized fishes would come in by the thousands and yea, by the millions. We pray for over 3 million Christians to confess their sins, repent, and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways and be revived again and get back to you, their first love. All of us, help us all to do that. And Holy Father God, we have many preachers and missionaries and indigenous pastors, indigenous evangelists who are doing great things for you. They are not begging. They are not trying to seek something to consume it upon their lusts at all. We only ran across one so far out of hundreds who have sent out the Macedonian call. They just need a little help. Lord, bless us with over $3 million to help them and to continue to further the gospel around the world and to proclaim the gospel around the world, live and on demand, on multiple platforms. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sins in the church of gluttony, resulting in being overweight, resulting in obesity, resulting in diseases such as diabetes, heart failure, and many other bad things, loss of productivity, loss of days of doing what needs to be done. Can't even get out of the bed to go to church now because of this sin of gluttony. Help us, Lord, not to go out and just get our stomach cut up or a band put on. Help us to do away with the source of the problem, the root of the problem, the sin of gluttony. Change our hearts and minds, souls and spirits about it by the power of your Holy Spirit, and nothing's going to help facilitate that like preaching. Not just sitting in a class, not just going to a gym, but your Holy Word and your Holy Spirit mixed together. We have to see it as a sin. For so long, many of us, including myself, never saw it that way. We thought we were in celebration mode, and we were, but we overdid it. Have mercy and grace upon us, and forgive us, and help us to repent, to turn away from it through fasting, through changing our diets, for we're not only eating too much, we're eating too much, we're eating the wrong things. And Lord, help us to stop doing that, for we're harming the beautiful bodies that you gave us to carry the gospel with. And help us to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, the great English preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones said, fasting, if we conceive of it truly, must not be confined to the question of food and drink. Fasting should really be made to include abstinence from anything which is legitimate in and of itself. Pardon me. In and of itself, for the sake of some special spiritual purpose. There are many bodily functions which are right and normal and perfectly legitimate, but which for special, peculiar reasons, in certain circumstances, should be controlled. That is fasting. End of quote. And may I say to you, beloved, that is one of the reasons why we are on this 40-day Daniel fast, and I may extend ours to 42 days, I'm not sure, is because I still believe that nothing can begin to break down the stranglehold of the sin of gluttony like fasting and doing it without the things we love so much. But this year has to be different. It cannot be just the fast for the first time of 21 days right before Thanksgiving, which I'm thinking about making an annual thing as well. That's very serious for me. And then the 40-day fast right after the New Year's festivities and Christmas and everything. Oh, I should say Christmas and New Year's, which has been going on now, I think, for 5 years or more. But never with the emphasis on asking God to break the band of wickedness, the wickedness of gluttony in our lives. In previous years, more for me was a cleansing process, a healing process from all of the wonderful meats and other foods and drinks that I enjoyed over the holidays. But this year is different. When I come out of this fast, I won't immediately go back to what I am used to eating. I would never go back immediately anyway for 2 to 3 days. We would try to eat fruits and vegetables and ease on into it. But this time, I'm not going back to any meat except for special occasions, special holidays. That's a huge deal for me, because I've enjoyed eating good food all of my Christian life. And I love it. I love it with butter, real butter. When I really want something good, I would never pick up. I can't believe it's not butter, because I can't believe it either. But real butter, there's nothing like real butter hitting that frying pan or that pot. Good stuff. Kerrygold from Ireland. Forgive me for reminiscing. Anyway, beloved, fasting teaches us the truth of God's word that man cannot live by bread alone. Jesus told us that. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Prior to fasting, most of us thought we couldn't go without food for more than a day. Some of us, having been taught the concept that 3 meals a day are a must, would have been loath to skip a meal. But fasting teaches us that the body can do without much of what we have been giving it. And in some cases, we ought to permanently allow our bodies to do without some of the processed, all of the processed food, fast food, sweet food, and factory-made foods that we so enjoy. And may I issue a warning to people, particularly Christian people in this day and time. There are some people so mad at you about your beliefs and your convictions that they will do nasty things to your food. You need to be extremely careful. Just this morning we heard about how that a family went to Starbucks and got some coffee, and I'm hoping that this was an accident. And the story admits that the worker there cut his finger, and some blood got in the coffee that they drank, to the point that the child and maybe even the adults had to get AIDS tests. You need to be careful. And by the way, you need to understand that everybody is not as sanitary as you are. Please understand that. You need to be extremely careful. It's amazing that many of us are not dead going to these fast food restaurants. There's really nothing good at these fast food restaurants, especially those you can just drive around, with the exception of Chick-fil-A. And Chipotle has something good. But I found out that some of their stuff has sugar in it. So you need to be careful. You need to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and be careful who prepares your food. Let's not be gluttons so much that we just go for anything and just grab some of anything from anybody. Food been sitting there for days. Somebody went and got something to eat the other day, and they found a rat in it. If that don't make you quit going out and getting something from anybody, I don't care if it's in a nice restaurant, you don't know what people are doing. Going to the bathroom and touching your food. I don't want anybody coming out of a bathroom and going right on in there and wiping their apron and then putting the gloves on. And then you got some folks got gloves on. Listen to me very carefully. You got some folks who are still nasty with gloves on. Forget they have the gloves on and go into the bathroom with the gloves on, come out the bathroom, handle the doorknob, and come in and hit the counter and then hit your food and start fixing your food. I don't know how many times I had to stop some folk at Subway down through the hold up there. Didn't you have those gloves on when I came in here? I just saw you hit the keyboard and pass out some nasty change and everything else. I mean, you need to give me some new gloves, don't you? I'm sorry. And then that little quick washing of the hands that some people do, that's not worth the flip. They put the hand underneath the water, burn it, and then come out. No, you got to wash it, man. Soap and water. And you have to even be careful with some family members. Some family members don't have the standards that you have about being sanitary. Don't just let anybody fix your food. Make sure they wash their hands and dry their hands with a clean paper towel, not a nasty towel that's been in the drawer for the past 21 months. That the roaches and the rats lay down on and go to sleep at night while you sleep. They use it as a bed. Fasting teaches us that we ought not to abide by or try to live on bread alone. Bread is not everything. Food is not everything. Some of us think that way. Some of us gluttons, we think that way. Life would be extremely boring without food. For us, don't say it's not so. We have television channels dedicated to nothing but food. Who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it? Before it became a reality on cable. 5, 6, 7 channels dealing nothing with nothing but food. These channels have food games, game shows, food contests, food bake-offs. The best baker, the best cooker, and then that fellow with that white fellow with the wild white hair, he just having himself a time. He's a crazy, my kind of man. I tell you that. He knows where to go to get that good grub, that good meat. And he knows where to go. He's a man's man when it comes down to that eating. He's crazy as he can be. But he just having himself a time. He'll be in New York. He'll taste some of everything in New York. Go to Chicago, taste some of everything in Chicago. Go to L.A., taste some of everything. And right there in the kitchen with him, why are they making it? You know, that joke is, he's having a great time. Eating bread alone feeds only the physical man. If we eat our breakfast but skip our morning time with God to hear from the words that proceed from Him, we are still going out into the world half. Not only half, but all the way starved. We don't have anything going on. You need a little something to eat. It'll help you think better, quicker. I recommend the preachers that if you're not fasting, to eat a little something that has some carbohydrates in it, so that you can get down when you need to get down in the pulpit. You won't feel as sluggish. You'll think faster. I recommend to preachers some green tea. Green tea does something for you more than coffee. If you can't get any green tea, for some reason, drink you a little coffee. I'm not drinking coffee for 40 days and 40 nights. And I recommend Trader Joe's organic green tea. And by the way, I have not had any stevia, not one bit. Those of you who don't know what stevia is a naturally grown thing, this plant that's sweet. And I have not suffered any withdrawals or anything like that from that. So it must be pretty good. I haven't had any honey, which I love more than stevia, of course. And I haven't had sugar, white sugar, in anything in, probably 20 years, I guess, 15 to 20 years. I've had some brown sugar in the past, but I don't mess with that anymore. I tried the agave or whatever. That's not going to get it. And maple syrup. I like maple syrup, which one of my daughters used to call maple syrup until I corrected her. And we called it, and I would say, get some maple syrup. Maple syrup is very expensive, too, the good kind. But I, by the grace of God, I haven't had any of that. I'm not... tea isn't, drinking green tea by itself with no stevia, no honey, no nothing. I mean, hey, that's, believe me, that's some real Daniel fasting. It's no joy, no fun, no pleasure in that at all. I drink it because I'm preaching every day and it gives me something. I can't put my finger on it, but it makes my brain work better, so I recommend that to preachers. You shouldn't go in the pulpit on an empty stomach unless you're fasting. And I recommend you eat a bowl of brown rice and Trader Joe's Cuban black beans. Only cost you 99 cents. Brag aminos on that, and you'll have all the energy you need to finish that sermon. And every preacher knows, even those of us who don't do the antics and the running around and so forth, every preacher knows, preaching like I'm preaching right now, this little short homily is about 4 to 5 hours of physical work. It takes a lot out of you. I guess it's because the devil is fighting you the whole time. I don't know. I'm not moving much at all. We have the air conditioner on here, and I'm still sweating. My shirt will be soaking wet by the time I'm done. It's already getting there. So, beloved, when fasting, back to the main point, the hunger of our physical man highlights the hunger of our spiritual man. Too many Christians, many of them gluttonous and obese. I'm preaching to myself. Someone said a long time ago, if you preach at yourself, you'll hit everybody. Are walking around malnourished, because they are stuffing their physical man, but starving their spiritual man. And there's nothing more odious than a person filled with food, but not filled with God. The Daniel fast is a great time to establish regular prayer, Bible reading, and Bible study, two different things, by the way. Bible reading and Bible study, not the same. And family devotional routines, not routines, but family devotions. Nothing you do for God should be routine. Daniel had a habit of praying 3 times a day, even when not fasting. He was a man of prayer. And so God made him to be a great man. He also regularly studied the scriptures that were available to him. When you complete the rigors of the Daniel fast, don't neglect the feeding of your spiritual man. Walk in the spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is more important than the feeding of your body. The food you feed your body will be used up and go to waste, but the food you feed your soul will benefit you forever, and not only you, hopefully, thousands, hundreds, even millions of other folk who need the Word of God. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to take this short homily message and help us to obey it from your holy word, to live by your holy word and not by just food alone. Have mercy and grace upon us, Lord, for putting physical food over our spiritual food. Lord, this is certainly the mark of being a glutton, having physical food right up there with our spiritual food, or very close to it, and in some minds over it. Lord God in heaven, forgive us of our sins of loving food, physical food, just as much, if not more, than our spiritual food. Help us to repent of this foolishness. And help us to change, break the band of wickedness, of gluttony and other sins in our lives, and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, the devil, and failure in this area. And Lord, change us and transform us from the inside out for your glory, praise, and honor. And so that others would come to know you as Savior because of our testimony and our witness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, some practical information regarding the Daniel fast. This information comes from the Daniel plan, 40 days to a healthier life. Look how God is still using Daniel. I'm preaching on Daniel for, 40 days and 40 nights. All these years later, we have named the famous Daniel fast after him, which he never called it the Daniel fast. He would never do that. And then Dr. Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman worked together to put a book together from the Jewish background and the Christian background working together called the Daniel Plan. Look at Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be, to stand alone. The book guides readers to adapt the Daniel fast and continue it as a lifestyle. The authors go on to say, consider what your journey toward whole health would be like if you did it in community, or in other words, with other people. I doubt if I would have ever fasted as much as I fasted down through the years if my wife and my children were not willing to go with me. Now, on this 40-day fast, the children went with us for the most part for 21 days. My wife is still with me. She'll probably peel off here in a few days with great gusto and leave me hanging for the last 10 days. But that's all right. I can handle it. I don't need my wife to take me by my hand as I walk through the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death. I must walk alone. They go on to say research shows that people getting healthy together lose twice as much weight as those who do it alone. That success dramatically increases when you are connected with others. Receiving constant encouragement to stay focused and motivated toward your goals. And it's good to have family members to do it, and not just your buddies and your friends, because they're your friends and buddies lie to you and try to make you feel good. Your family's not going to lie to you when you say, does it look like I have lost some weight? My wife will quickly respond, not to me. And they're going to tell you the truth. Or they're going to tell you something to discourage you even further. But that's okay. Friends and faith set apart, and that includes family members. The Daniel Plan is a lifestyle that is attainable and maintainable. Diet and nutrition books can give you the nuts and bolts as to what you should do, but only the mutual support of others can increase your results and sustain them. The wisest man in the world who ever lived, King Solomon, said, two are better than one. How many of you know that's true in most cases? Amen, somebody. If you look at history, by the way, families have changed the course of history. Just families that stay together and work together. Families, you'd be amazed. They're doing a documentary on the Kennedys. One family that shook up the world. It might be the case that if it were not for the Kennedys, many black people would not be as free as they are today. The prophet Daniel understood this principle too. He didn't make his commitment to God's ways and healthy choices by himself. He did it with three friends, three brothers, three Ace Boone Coons. The four of them together were much stronger than any of them could have been alone. God never meant for you to go through life solo, and that includes your journey toward better health. And allow me to say to you, for the introverted crowd, which I am a part of, most of our family, most of my immediate family are introverted people. My wife is an introvert. I'm an introvert. So we have many introverted children, and one who can do like me, can put on the dog, if you will, and we can lead others and say what we have to say and do what we have to do. But some are painfully quiet, painfully introverted. And for you, my dear friends, you better thank God for the family that he put you in. Because more than likely, they will be the ones to help you accomplish something like this more than a stranger. Whether you join with a few neighbors, start a group at the office, sign up for a church small group, or round up your family members. And if you can do it with your family without fighting and fussing, it'll be a beautiful thing. Find a few others to do the Daniel plan with you. See, this is not only a day change or a 40-day change. This is a life change. It should have been this way from the get-go, but you say, well, preacher, why wasn't it? Somehow we were blinded to this sin. This is why I call it the acceptable sin, Christian sin of gluttony. We were blinded. What's what? Speaker. We were blinded to this gluttony, this sin, this evil. Social connections are critical. When you are surrounded by people who have the same values, goals, and health habits, you are going to progress further together than you could on your own. And I would recommend that you do this as a family. It will be much easier to do this as a family. However, I will say your children, particularly your growing children, I'm not talking too much about your grown children, but your growing children, for some reason, I can't put my finger on it, they need some turkey sausage. You can get it at Walmart. They need some chicken. They need some fish. They have got to have it. And but they don't need Frosted Flakes. So don't put all your young children on a vegetarian situation. I have many vegetarian friends, vegan friends, and some of them don't look quite right. I don't know, the blood is not flowing well. I don't know what's going on. So you don't need to do that. But those who are full grown, you can get away with it more. Now, dear friends, in closing, in this series, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies and taking care of our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life, which I preached on today. Even those of you who are fit, and you go to CrossFit every day, and you got it going on, who eat right and who exercise right and regularly, must still address the condition of your soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you still will die. We all will die one day, no matter how fit we are. And the only thing that will matter is that condition of your soul. Is your soul saved? Is your soul in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin and the consequences of sin, which is hell. He alone can save your soul and make you fit for heaven and ensure that you do not perish in hell when you die. Now, beloved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, if your soul is not saved, here's how you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today to save your soul. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment, an eternal punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. Our body goes to the grave, goes to the funeral home, goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place, a place of torment, a place of darkness, a place of pain, a place of gnashing of teeth from being in pain so badly or so much. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. For Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, and the Bible says you will be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. And just mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I admit to you that I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying to others, by stealing from others, by lusting at others, by disrespecting and dishonoring my parents, and other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins and save my soul from hell, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you immediately. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is our prayer. Let's all stand. Jesus will save you.